Now, as GCs or a state agency, we often find ourselves training board members. For those of us that are general counsels for an agency that's headed by a board, and we see, and I have seen at least in for my client agencies, a lot of their statutes or enabling statutes call for a certain amount of training that board members need to undergo. Does your agency do that kind of training, Tracy? And what does that look like at your agency?
Absolutely. We do new board member training anytime a new board member is appointed. And of course, the chair of the board is given specific training as well about presiding over the board meeting. And it's really good for refresher training as well, because we do have some board members who have long terms. And depending on the types of issues that are coming up at the board meeting, it's nice to go ahead and give that refresher legal training. It could be ethics training, really anything that's coming up that they need some background context and legal review. Of course, we do the standard required open government training as well, open records, administrative procedures, and disclosure of conflicts of interest. We discuss the laws governing our specific department operations. There's a lot of different types of cases that the board might hear. And so we give a lot of contested case training, because if the board is hearing a case that comes from the State Office of Administrative Hearings as a proposal for decision, they might decide that they would like to change a finding of fact or conclusion of law. So in addition to the training, we also did just adopt some contested case rules. We find it's also really helpful to have governance documents for the board that they can adopt so that they know the standard procedures and governance of the board in certain matters. I think the most important training for this particular board at the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles, because we do have members who participate in the regulated industry, is to make sure that they know what their authority is whenever they're considering a proposal for decision. If they're looking at changing a finding of fact or conclusion of law, of course, there's only certain ones that have a broader impact, and some of them are under stricter scrutiny when it goes to appeal. And several of our cases do go to appeal after the board hears them. So we must make sure that the order or decision has the justification, the reasons for their particular action based on their decision in the meeting. So it's really important that they have that open discussion and deliberation. So part of our training is also to encourage them to express their ideas, have that differing views, have that discussion and deliberation. That way we can make sure that any final order that comes from the board has that articulation of the rational connection between their underlying agency policy, and make sure that the findings of fact and conclusions of law that the board changed are going to hold muster if it does go up on appeal. It's really the difference between the basic facts in a proposal for decision or those legislative items, so that the board understands there's stricter scrutiny on appeal if they're changing a basic finding or conclusion of law. And the appeals court will look at it to make sure that the board isn't trying to relitigate, trying to weigh the evidence, something that would normally go to a jury. That's not within the jurisdiction of the board as much as the legislative facts, in which the board can identify policy decisions and make those decisions and changing any kind of finding of fact or conclusion of law in those proposals for decision. So we have a lot of discussion and refresher training on those kind of issues, but our enabling statutes do provide specific types of training that we are required to provide to the board. It's department budget, audits, definitely department functions, any of the laws that govern our board, the Administrative Procedures Act, and any types of actions that might implicate federal antitrust law because of the makeup of our board from regulated industry.
Tracy, I wanted to, that's a fantastic point, and to come back to that a little bit in as far as educating and essentially teaching with your commissioner board members, as some are part of a regulated industry and the ones who aren't necessarily a part of it on a day-to-day basis, everyone knows that they belong to the governing body of that particular licensing entity throughout the state of an industry. And I've found that it's very important to always be watchful regarding ex parte communications, because someone always knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody about the case and wants to get in touch with one of your commission members with some input. And oftentimes, most times I should say, it's going to be outside the record input, whether it's before the case ever gets started or during the time when it leaves SOA and comes back to the commission. So obviously, any upfront training you can get and any upfront education you can provide to the commissioners, because a lot of the times they're going to come in not ever having dealt with state government and or governing boards most of the time. This is going to be a very unique situation. It's going to seem very foreign to them and certainly unfamiliar, getting solicitation or input, whether it's from the actual parties or not, making an ex parte communication, or